Hi, I'm Misha Paris, and I'm here with Susan Hunter, and we're on Brooklyn's radio having a lovely time. I hope to hear from you guys soon.
Now, it's a great pleasure to welcome onto the show the platinum-selling artist and vocalist Misha Paris. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hi.
Now, most people listening are very familiar with your numerous top 10 hits, to include One Temptation and albums like So Good and Black Angel, but they may be less familiar with the fact that along with those great albums, you've appeared in many West End musicals and theatre. And again, you're going to be in a musical called Love Me Tender. Tell us what first attracted you to the world of musical theatre, and also what attracted you to this current musical that you're working on?
Well, I haven't done a musical in 20 years. You know, the last time I did one was 21 years ago, actually, and it was called Mama, I Want to Sing, and I haven't done a musical since. I don't know why I didn't do one. I just know that I've been so busy doing, I've done quite a lot of TV in the last, 15 years. I've just been really, radio and television's been taking up most of my time. But what it is, the script for this play was so fascinating for me. I read it and I just became really excited because Sylvia, the character that I play, she really is who I am. The only difference is she has an American accent. But I felt that she was I just saw myself in her. So I thought this could be really cool. And plus, I like the story. The story is really funny and cleverly written.
Important, isn't it? It's really important that you enjoy it and you feel an identity with the character as well. You've got a very distinctive, soulful voice, and you've moved into many different genres over the years. Am I right in some way that you're a little bit like Elvis, insofar as you were influenced from a young age by your family's participation in gospel music?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because my grandparents raised me. It's very common in Caribbean families, for that to happen. Everyone sort of gets involved and raises you, one of them ones, But what it was, they were ministers. So I was going to church 6 days a week for pretty much 15 years of my life on this planet. And so I had a lot of church going on. So in that way, absolutely there's a familiarity in terms of the way that Elvis, he was obsessed with the Pentecostal church. He loved it. He'd stand outside the churches and start dancing like the people in the church when they get in the spirit, and they start jumping up and down. He was doing the same thing. That's where he got his whole move from. So it's quite interesting. But his music also was tinged with gospel. I mean, his early stuff was really gospel influenced.
It's been a great influence, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's also, I think, the thing that kept me I had this thing where I really wanted to prove to my grandparents that I wouldn't end up as a car crash in the music business, because they were kind of convinced that I would. When I spoke to them and told them I was going to become a singer for a living, the first response was, "That's it, you're going to be a drug addict and you're going to go pear-shaped," And so I kind of made up my mind that I would prove to them that that wouldn't be me.
Yes.
And thank God it hasn't happened.
No, not at all. Anything but. Oh, wonderful. I bet they're very, very proud.
They've gone now. They're done. But they were,
Yeah.
I lost them 4 years ago, but they were very, very, very happy.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? And, you've also, you've worked with so many artists over the years. I know Jocelyn Brown also has a strong faith as well, that sort of quite gospel influence in her family as well, with the church side of things. You also presented a TV show called Gospel on Gospel, which featured interviews with B.B. King, Al Green, and Ray Charles.
Ray Charles, yeah, but it was B.B. was the one who told me quite a lot about Elvis, actually, because they were really good friends.
Oh, wow.
When I interviewed B.B. King.
Yeah, B.B. King. I mean, it's such a... It must have been so wonderful to interview him.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, bless him, he's passed on too. He was never at home, do you know what I mean? He lived on the bus.
Absolutely.
I had to interview him on this bus.
Did you?
I mean, it was like a mobile home. It's amazing. I mean, it's the most incredible bus I've ever seen in my life. But he was the one that told me how Elvis was so influenced by the church, and how he would stand outside and listen to the gospel music and do his movements and watch people getting in the spirit and copy the moves.
Oh, wow.
And that's how he, and so all these things, it's interesting how life is, how everybody is so influenced by gospel music. I'm personally not into religion at all.
Mm.
I grew up in it. I'm more into spirituality.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is there's no two ways about it. Gospel music is very, very powerful, and it moves you, and you feel taken, you know, like you're taken to another place when you hear it. It's fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, talking of your foray into presenting there, you've also been involved in What Not to Wear with Gok Wang, and you wrote a book as well called Beautiful Within. Did this sort of empowering book come on the back of working on the show, or was it from another need to write?
It did, because the thing was, when I did the show for 2 years, Gok didn't do that show with me. I did another show with Gok called Miss Naked Beauty. I did What Not to Wear with Lisa, who's my best friend still to this day. And we did that together for 2 years, and we took over from Trini and Susanna. That was a great show. It did really well. It was 2 years. It was very successful. But the thing was, I met so many women who were just really going through so much on that show. Because, you know, you actually lived with them for a couple of days, you know what I mean? And you kind of really got absorbed into their life and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, I need to, all the thousands of letters that I get, I just decided to write this book so I could reach the ones I didn't get to meet. So that's why I wrote Beautiful Within, which was really well received, which was really nice, actually, because I get letters even now from women who are like, oh my God, you have no idea, this book really helped me.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it?
That's what we're here to do. You know,
definitely.
First I did it with my music,
yes,
and hopefully continue to do it with my music. But, you know, whatever I tried to do, I always try to inspire. I think it's important that we inspire each other, because it's tough out there.
Absolutely.
Especially for women. You know, women are constantly sort of beating themselves up, never feeling perfect enough. And
no.
The pressure is always on us to be great all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are most of the time, aren't we?
Yeah,
not all the time.
We do the bulk of it, don't we?
So yeah.
I try to reach to women, because I'm a woman, so I'm a mother, so I try to reach out to my own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talking of clothes and design, you're something of a designer yourself in a way, because you created a pillowcase for a Bite Night charity. How did that come about?
Oh, I did that a long time ago. They asked me to design it, but that's kind of why I got What Not to Wear, because, I mean, before I went into the music business, I was doing my A-level art and design. That's what I was doing at college.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just funny how it came round again. And then I designed a range for them for a year as well.
Oh.
So I've always done I've always been into design, because that's what I was studying at school.
Oh, I see.
It's just that the music business became so successful for me that I had to put it on hold. But it came in another way later on.
Yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. It all comes around, doesn't it, in the end? Everything ties in.
It's funny. Yeah. When I saw myself selling clothes for a clothing label, I thought, God, isn't it weird? My mum said it as well. My mum was like, isn't it funny? You used to do this when you were at college. And look, here we go.
Yeah, back again. Yeah, oh, that's fabulous. Again. I mean, your talents don't end there, obviously, because fans of the MasterChef programme will have seen your appearance on the show. And to coin, it's a very bad pun.
Heartbreaker.
Oh, really? Not the Bake Off. You won't be on that one.
No, I absolutely cannot bake to save my life. I look at flour.
Yes.
And milk and sugar and completely just freeze. No! I don't actually enjoy sweets either. I'm not a sweet person.
Oh, you're more savoury.
I'm very savoury.
Yeah.
Cakes, can't bear it.
And
so, you know, I'm very much like, if I like something, I'm in it. But if I don't like it, you know about it.
So I was going to say, you know, really terrible pun, but, you know, after your song, The One Temptation, do you have any one temptation that you can't resist? It's not sweet, obviously.
No, it's not sweet at all. I can't resist. What can I not resist? Tell you what, if you go out with me, I'm one of those people that I can't resist being in the middle of the dance floor dancing like mad.
Oh, well.
Dance floor. I'm one of those.
I'll be there with you then.
Embarrassed. Yeah, I'm really embarrassing.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, you sound like my kind of lady.
I don't care what I look like.
I'm
the one. You know, I'm always embarrassing my children, my boyfriend, everybody, because I'm in the middle of the room.
It's like dance like no one's watching, isn't it?
Yeah,
brilliant stuff. Now, of course, I mean, so you have collaborated with many artists over the years, Natalie Cole, former guest Jocelyn Brown, Bonnie Raitt, and, of course, Will Downing, that gorgeous remake of the original Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway song, Where Is the Love? And when something is so good, as was your album of the same name, it warrants a re-release, which I believe you've done. What are there going to be some added extras that the fans can expect from that album?
No, they just remixed the original. I mean, you know, the thing is, I'm actually making, while I'm doing this play, because the play is intense, I mean, it's eight shows a week, but I managed to take some time on a Sunday, because Sunday's my only day off. That's usually a travel day.
Yes.
And I've been recording with Don Black, which is amazing.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, Don Black is such a nice man. And
yeah, it's wonderful, isn't he? Yeah.
He's lovely, yeah. So we just recorded a couple of songs together for a new record that's coming out later in the year. With the Philharmonic Orchestra, which is really fabulous.
Oh, brilliant.
So I've just done that. Yeah, so, the music continues.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just one of those people that just, I get, I love what I do.
Yes.
And I'm open to all new things, and people come and want to work with me, I jump on it. I love it.
Yeah,
I've worked with people like, Prince and all these fantastic people. They called me and said, let's do something.
Yeah.
I've been really blessed like that, so... Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, from voicing animated films to selling out residency at Ronnie Scott's, you've continued to show the versatility of your voice, jazz, soul, collaborating with hip-hop artists, and now Elvis soundtrack. I assume for the show Love Me Tender, there's going to be a bit of rock and roll, a bit of soul, a bit of gospel touched on. What's the style of music and the sound you're expected to create?
Well, the thing is, it's a gospel. It's more like my voice is always going to sound like a gospel. Can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realise that the show is really not about Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the music of Elvis.
Yes.
But the story is completely different.
Oh.
And the story is really, it's clever. It's like, it's almost like, it's based in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I own a bar, and it's almost like loosely based on Twelfth Night, basically.
Oh, really?
And then,
interesting.
And it's really like the music is sort of the backdrop to the story.
Yes, interwoven quite cleverly by the sounds of it. They're the best musicals, aren't they, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like a Mamma Mia vibe. It's more like that. That's why everyone's loving it, because it's 2.5 hours of absolute fun. You just can't stop laughing and dancing. And
oh, brilliant.
It's a great show, and that's why, 3 months in, I'm still having a laugh.
Absolutely. Really, that's the most important thing. I guess in the encore, you're getting up and having a bit of a dance as well, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Try and hold you back.
Yeah, right.
Now, well, as stopping off at the new Victoria Theatre in Woking from the 7th of September, the show's going to be on a UK tour, isn't it? So that's, I think you're getting towards the end in September.
Yeah, and, the 26th is we finish up in Dublin.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. For some celebrations.
Yeah, I think, hopefully, I can't even say when I say that Sean Williamson, amazing.
Oh,
just love him.
Yeah.
He's just wonderful, and we're having such a great time.
Yeah, I imagine you have great fun with that cast. It looks a really fun cast to be
with.
Yeah,
really fun, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, Misha, it sounds like the show is going to have everybody rocking in the aisles, and it also sounds like it's got a lot of heart as well. So I wish you lots and lots of success with the tour and with your other ventures as well. And thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Suzanne.
You too. Bye-bye. And that was my very special platinum-selling singer, guest Misha Paris.
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.